Jump into the Word of God before we get much further. So let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we're grateful to be here with your people, Lord. It is a good and refreshing place where we can come and gather to be a part of the flock, to be a part of the fold, and to enter into fellowship and friendship with one another, but that genuine fellowship with you, Father, that takes place during these services, Lord. I pray that you spoke to hearts through our worship as we exalted you together in unison, and Father, that as we continue now through your word, that you'll speak deeply to us, Lord. Help us see things about ourselves, about our circumstance, about our life, about our future, about our role and our calling in the body of Christ and beyond, Lord, and let us see it and grab onto it as something that we choose to do, something we choose to say, that's me. I want to get involved and do this for the kingdom of God. Father, we love you, praise you, thank you for your love for us, Lord, that never ends, never fades, never goes away. Thank you for it. We pray you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as the title suggests, we're still in the middle of a series. We're the third one in of a series talking about your role in the body of Christ. What is it that God has for you to do? What is God calling you to do? Okay, as we press in, obviously we're going to get to the term teacher today, but I want to show you some things. Kind of taking it, even in the scripture we're going to read, you'll see I've taken it out of order just a little bit, because this is where God said to start. I literally believe that in my heart. So God has a plan for you in his kingdom. You have to start with that. God has a plan for you to serve him in the kingdom, okay, in the kingdom of God, in his kingdom. After we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we're blessed with this privilege, and along with that comes the responsibility of service. Okay, Jesus literally said in John 15:16, he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Okay, Jesus said, "I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should be continue on or should remain." So as we dig deeper into some of these roles, specific roles in the body, okay, and some of the qualifications for those roles in the body of Christ, I'm going to remind you of a particular fact over and over and over again, and that is every believer is saved with a calling. Okay, there is something that God has in store for you that he would like you to fulfill within the human race and within the body of Christ in particular. Just like every part of your human body has a purpose. Okay, everything, whether we think it's really important or not, try losing a fingernail and working with your hands on stuff with no fingernail. You'll come to realize that fingernail serves a purpose. God had it there for a reason. Okay, for one thing, you can't take knots out of your tennis shoes or, you know, things like that without fingernails, right? Unless you can get your teeth. I can't, but. Okay, so every part of your human body has a purpose. Okay, even the parts, there's lots of them we can't see. There's lots of that within the body of Christ that you never see, but yet it serves a vital function, something that is very important. Okay, and our body made up of such human things that that are necessary. Every part of the body of Christ, okay, his church, has a calling and a purpose as well. There is something specific, whether you can see it, whether it seems important or not. God said even some of those things that seem less important, like Emily shared that scripture this morning. God takes the foolish things and confounds the wise with it. God takes the things that we see as lowly sometimes in the body and uses them for his greatest glory. The Apostle Paul put it this way. It's in Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 15. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which lie behind and pressing forth, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So as you mature as a Christian, okay, you, as we see that Paul did, will figure out that you are on this earth with a mission. God has called you with a great and high calling. He has something to press towards. Okay, and as Paul said, if you are otherwise minded, in other words, if you forget about your calling or maybe don't quite understand it, maybe you haven't quite grasped his highest calling yet, what you were saved for, then God will reveal this unto you. He'll show you that and help you to understand it. Okay, now that revealing sense, I was thinking in a practical sense, you know, what is that like? How do you know when God is revealing to you that you're not fulfilling your calling? Okay, well, it may seem like kind of a sense like you just don't seem to be fulfilled. Okay, you're going through life and you're doing the motions. Okay, there's something missing in your life. There's something lacking. It's just not quite right. Okay, you might be going through the motions of life and still wondering what the meaning of life is. I can tell you in one statement what life is all about. I've said it many, many times. Life is about God and people. Okay, and right here in this environment is where God and his people come together, the church setting. Okay, if you're searching, how can I feel more fulfilled about life? There's something about serving in the body of Christ that will take you to another level. Okay, now, even within that, this is kind of a side note, but I've talked before about a guy named Guy Dunnick. It's a guy named Guy. Okay, his name is Guy. He was on a radio station in one of the towns that I lived in, and was a teacher online, a teacher of the Bible. I went to his conferences. He was pretty well known. He travels the world at this point. He helped start a Bible college and other things. But I remember his story as he told about how he got into the ministry of teaching. He said that his dad was a pastor. He grew up in a pastoral thing. He knew that he was called to be an evangelist or to pastor or something. So he tried it, and he was a pastor, and he pastored a church, and he just didn't feel right. He was doing it and being successful, but he just didn't feel like that was what God had called him to do. He thought he was more of an evangelist, wanted to travel and to preach and lead people to Christ. So he became an evangelist, and he did that, and he traveled, and he led people to Christ. And again, he was successful in doing that, but he still didn't feel it. He still didn't feel like this is what I'm here for, until he stepped into a teaching role and began teaching the Bible. He had a gift for being able to take a passage of Scripture and just expounding it to the point you're just like, wow, I never knew that. It's been there the whole time. But he could see those things, and he began to teach, and then he traveled the world teaching, and that's what God was trying to get him to, was that he was a teacher in the body of Christ. Okay, well, that sense of not feeling like you're fulfilled is something that's one of the ways that God reveals that maybe you're not quite doing what God has called you to do yet. Hey, there is no satisfaction in life that is greater than serving the Lord in some capacity. Okay, now many of you, if not all of you, God has already laid something on your heart. Okay, he has already revealed to you some of, at least, the plans for your life that he has for you. Okay, that maybe you have a daydream. Anybody daydream? Is that just a Gary Gilbert thing? Okay. Maybe you have a daydream, maybe something that you kind of see yourself doing. Okay, maybe you have an inkling or a vision, okay, something that God has spoken to you time and time again, that this is kind of on your heart all the time. Maybe deep down you actually see yourself doing it. That's kind of daydreaming, right? We anticipate, we're traveling, we're doing these things, we're engaged in it. Okay, maybe as you drift off to sleep at night, you're wondering about it. Kind of, you know, again, that's part of your daydreaming. You're still awake, but you're kind of, what would it be like? Oh yeah, I would do this and I would do that. And we begin to daydream about these things that God has laid on our heart. That means that hope is still alive in your heart. There's still something there, that you're still heading in that direction. Okay, you desire to engage in things that are maybe bigger than life dreams, you know, bigger than where you're at right now, and you're desiring to do that. But maybe there seems to always be something in the way. Like you're seeing these things and, oh yeah, that would be great someday, but there's always that someday. There's always that something that's kind of standing in your way. Hey, maybe you're too busy, or you're too young, or you're too old, or you don't know enough about that topic. You need more education. You got to get your debts paid off. You got to get, you know, to a different place in life to be able to do those things. Hey, maybe you got some habit in your life that you just figure, I got to get rid of that before God could ever use me. Maybe you've got some unworthy stuff going on in your life that I'm just not worthy to ever be servicing God and the kingdom. You know, there might be circumstances that you desire to see changed. Okay, maybe when things settle down. Maybe when I get my act together. Maybe, you know, fill in the blank. Well, I tell you, serving the Lord is a high calling of God Himself. It is something that He has called us to. It's a wonderful calling. It is something that should be incorporated into everything else that you do in your life. Okay, you can be a teacher. You can be a cop. You can be a construction worker. You can be a homemaker. Okay, you can be a student. You can be a pastor. And at the root of being the very best that you can be will be a heart of service unto God. And everything that you do, you will do it heartily as unto the Lord. And then it begins to click. And things that maybe you're not standing in front of or behind a pulpit or in front of a stage or in front of a crowd or whatever it is, maybe God has got you in a different role, a different position. Maybe you're the one that goes to the coffee with the other ladies and you sit around and you begin to share and minister unto them through that. Okay, there's lots and lots of things that God is leading and calling. Okay, and one of the greatest things is that not only has God called you to serve Him, but the very fact that you know Him has qualified you for service. Okay, it has put you in a position to accomplish your God-given destiny. He saved you on purpose. Remember that? We've said it numerous times already in this service. He saved you on purpose for a purpose. You know who originally said that? A guy named Guy Dunnick told me that. He said, you were saved on purpose for a purpose. Find that purpose. Seek it. Don't quit. Keep pressing towards it. I'm still pressing, literally, as I speak right now. So this morning I want to share something about teaching. Okay, and it's something that I would call a compound calling. Okay, I made that up. It's not, you know, in the scripture somewhere. A compound calling. Okay, and I call it that because it is one that is like we talked about last week, that everybody is an ambassador for Christ, reconciling the world unto God. We all have that calling together. We're all in that one together. It is something that we are all called to do. And yet, I call it a compound calling because there are different levels in it, to the point that people will get, it just compounds, that you begin as teaching the children and then you begin teaching as adults and then next thing you're teaching and you find yourself teaching more and more, to the point that it just grows into something that is more of a specific level in God's mind, that you're literally doing it for a living. You're literally doing it for the body of Christ. It is that one thing that you are well defined in. Okay, that you are known for, that you are quite capable of, and you're gifted in that to put it to use within the body of Christ. Okay, I'm going to show you a scripture. Okay, let's look at a scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:28. It says, and God set some in the church. Okay, ponder on that just for a second. God set some in the church. Okay, not everybody is in the same particular calling. But God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Okay, specifically set in the church by God to help us find our basic life purpose and our motivation for living are these gifts from God. They are set into the church. Okay, now we're going to talk about the prophets and the apostles and the gifts and the other things later on, these other ministries. okay, later on in this series. But today I want to focus on the ministry of teaching, okay, or the teacher. Okay, all of us, right, here's that compound calling, all of us are called to be teachers and instructors of the Word of God. All of us. Without exception. You were saved with that purpose. Jesus set an example then for us to follow. Okay, if you remember when a guy named Nicodemus is famous in John chapter 3, a guy named Nicodemus comes to Jesus privately and asks him how he should be saved. Okay, and he comes to Jesus and he says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." In other words, Jesus was known for being a teacher. He was called that often by people as he lived on the earth. Many times people referred to him as a teacher, or in the King James Version of the Bible, it was translated often as master. And so they would come up to him. A couple examples, Matthew 8:19, a certain scribe came and said to him, "Master," or teacher, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Okay, again, in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says, "And when he was in the hinder," he, Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master," or teacher, "carest not that we perish?" Okay, I think that means Jesus was a smart teacher because he knew they weren't going to perish, right? So he was still sleeping on a pillow. But they called him Master, okay, the big M. Okay, he was the teacher. He was known for that, known for teaching. Most often when you see that word in the Bible where it says teaching, it is referring to moral instruction. Okay, so a couple more examples. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching," or morally instructing, "in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Again, Luke 13:22, it says, "And when he went through the cities and villages teaching," okay, morally instructing, "and journeying towards Jerusalem." Again, in Luke 21:37 and 38, it says, "And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and in the night he went out and he abode in a mount that is called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning into the temple for to hear him." Okay, he was known as the teacher, the one that they wanted to understand more of what he was saying. Okay, now, not only was Jesus a teacher, but all of us are called to be teachers or to teach others. Okay, at the very end of Matthew's gospel, he says this, Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. It says, "Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Okay, that is why we read our Bible. Okay, that is why we study our Bible as individual Christians. Okay, that is why we gather together for Bible studies and to begin to learn the Scriptures more. That is why we come on Sundays, is to learn more about the Lord and His ways. Okay, we want to be able to teach others what Jesus commanded us. Okay, what did He say? How did He live? What was His life? What was His example for us? And the only way that we can do that is to read and to hear and to study about Him in the Word of God. Okay, we study His ways to know how to then share accurately those moral instructions for others. Okay, love others as He loved you, right? That's a moral instruction, something that we are to do as well. The disciples were close to Jesus and began to follow in His ways, following this example of their great teacher. And so they were found to be teaching. Okay, and there's a couple examples of that. In Acts chapter 5, verse 25, says, "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom you put in prison, the disciples, are standing in the temple teaching the people." Okay, very ironic. They were in the temple. They were got busted for preaching and teaching about Jesus, got thrown in jail. God opened the doors and let them out. They go right back to the temple to teach more about Jesus. They're going to get reprimanded. Said, "Did we not tell you to not teach in this man's name? And yet here you are teaching in the temple." Okay, that's exactly what they knew they were called to do. They're supposed to spread the gospel through anointed teaching. Okay, in Acts 5:42 it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." Okay, this is what they were called to do. It's what we are called to do. The Apostle Paul exhorted us to, quote, "be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope, for the reason of the hope that is in you." Okay, be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope that you have inside. Well, let me tell you where my hope comes from. My hope comes from Jesus. And we begin to tell them what He has instructed us. The Bible tells us that those who are servants of the Lord should be, quote, apt to teach. Okay, apt. There's a word for you. Be ready. Always willing. Okay, always looking for, taking opportunities to be able to teach, to be able to help somebody else to grow and to flourish in their walk with Christ. Okay, to help with their faith toward Jesus. And then as you mature in Christ, as you begin to develop, you read the Bible, you study, you come to church, and you begin to get more and more knowledge and understanding of the ways of God. The anointing is there. When you get into a conversation, literally, the Word says the Holy Ghost will give you the words to speak in a time. If you've never had this, seek it out because it's a great experience. Someone will come and ask you things about God, and all of a sudden you're rattling off scriptures and you're giving them the things that God said. Well, God would say this, and well, let's pray. And you're acting just like Jesus. You're teaching, you're following through because there is an anointing there to do those things. Okay, the Bible tells us that we should be apt to teach, meaning we're always looking for an opportunity to be able to share Jesus. But then as we begin to mature in Christ, okay, you become a mentor for somebody else. Okay, a mentor. Literally taking other people under your wing and helping them to learn and to grow. Okay, to develop their faith. Okay, if I had not been mentored by the guy that led me to Christ, I would not be here today. Okay, if I had not been mentored by my pastor, I followed him and his wife across the country. Margie and I got on board and began to follow him and help plant churches and do these things across the country solely because when I would pray about, should I go? God would say, I want you to stay under John Kyle right now. Okay, stay with this man. He was my mentor and I needed to learn and grow and develop and there was more things to do before we branched out and did things on our own. Okay, so as you mature, you will become a mentor to others in the body of Christ. Look at this passage. It's in Titus chapter 2. The first five verses of that chapter. Paul says, "But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine," or good solid teaching, in other words, "that the aged men," or the mature men, "be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of God be not blasphemed." Okay, for some of you this morning, this mentoring will be another step in the progression towards being a full-blown teacher in the body of Christ. It is one of those level steps. It is taking another step in the right direction where you begin to see yourself in the role of a mentor. Okay? Somebody who has enough knowledge to be able to share with somebody else within the church. Look at this description in the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul. It's interesting. Emily pointed out that Paul was not holding any punches with the Corinthians. And I'm going to say the same thing. He was teaching some pretty solid stuff. It was strong meat, in other words. And he didn't want them to be offended by it. So he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. We'll read through 17. Paul says, "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Okay, now there's a couple of really important points to this passage. The first thing you see is that Paul was saying that there are a lot of people who are capable of instructing you in the ways of Christ. Okay, there are a lot of people. Anybody in this room could help you to understand something about Christ that you don't already know. Okay, and vice versa. There are people in the room that you could share with to be able to help them grow in their faith to a certain extent. Okay, but what he was getting to was that even though there are many instructors in Christ, not all of them are a, quote, father in Christ. Okay, not all of them take on that role of that special mentor. Okay, that person that really takes them under their wing and becomes a true spiritual mentor to help guide them in their walk. The Apostle Paul explains that that is why he sent Timothy, his faithful son in the Lord, to mentor and teach them essentially the same things that he would teach them if he was with them. You see how that works? Paul couldn't be everywhere all the time, so he trained up some in the Lord and mentored Timothy. He called him his son in the Lord more than once, and then he sends Timothy to these people so that Timothy can share with them the exact same things that he would share with them. Okay, some of you know in leadership, the people that lead the groups and do different things for us within the church, they go through some training with yours truly, and one of the things they learn and they hear over and over in that training is, you are an extension of Sunday morning. You're an extension of what I teach and preach. Because if you go and teach and preach things that are opposite of what I would teach, number one, it's probably not going to be scriptural. Everybody let that soak in. And then the other part is, it sows division within the body of Christ. Okay, it pulls people in two different directions to hear two completely different messages. Okay, now Paul explains that he is sending Timothy to them because he wants them to get this good message. He's sharing the right stuff. He knows that. Okay, that same thing is what we do as a church. Okay, I'm only one man. I can't do it all. So as we grow, we begin to appoint children's church teachers. We begin to appoint youth leaders and many leaders. We begin to appoint people into positions of leading the small groups, and eventually we'll get to assistant pastors, and hopefully at some point I will train somebody up to take my role. Okay, don't get panicky. It'll be a long time, I hope. But that's part of what I'm here for. I'm training somebody up to be a pastor, to be able to mentor, to be able to do those things. Okay, now some of you are probably, maybe you feel like you're better at it, or at least you're more comfortable in sharing the Word of God with children. Okay, and I think that's great. Okay, children they're much more eager to learn. They're not going to have their own doctrine and try to refute what you're saying. There's all those things. So there's lots of reasons why people feel more comfortable with the children. And I think it's a good place to start, because you probably do know more than an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old. Okay, and so wherever you're at, you're able to begin that process of teaching. Okay, well, oftentimes that's where people get their start. Okay, when they become taking those steps towards becoming a full-time teacher or a pastor in the body of Christ, is by teaching the children. Okay, we got to be able to learn and teach somewhere. Okay, others have been actively studying the scriptures for maybe many years. Okay, you've sort of become that go-to person, right? Your family, your friends, people, they have questions about the Bible. They got things they'd like to know, and they call you and ask you about it. It's because you've been studying those scriptures. And that is a key characteristic of somebody who's called to be a teacher. They like to study the scriptures. They like to dig in. They want to find out, what does the Bible say about that topic? You know, if something's controversial or you don't know what it means, to dig in and to find those things out. Okay, or maybe you need to figure out what the context of the verse was in. You know, why does this say this? Some people are quoting this and using it for, you know, what seems like a fleshly purpose. Maybe you need to dig in and find out what the real context behind that verse is. You read the chapter before, the chapter behind, you read it all. You know, as a young man, long before I ever got into full-time ministry, I loved the Word of God to the point I would sit and read a Bible. I have notebooks full of this stuff. I would just read the Bible, take each verse, and break it down If I didn't understand a word, I'd look it up in the Hebrew or the Greek. If I didn't quite get the context, I would read commentaries on it and study on it and fill up notebooks full of notes on this stuff. Now I do it in the corner of my Bible or on the edge of the pages to keep it all in one spot. Okay, but it's things that we need to be able to dig in to figure out what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, okay, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, study to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to truly know what it is and to be able to teach that. People that are hungry for that study of that truth are called to teach. And like I said, we are all called to teach. Beyond the all being called, there are some that are specifically called, okay, specifically ordained by God to be teachers within in the body of Christ. Okay, the very scriptures that we're studying and that we learn to be able to share with others tell us that there are some that are specifically called to teach within the body of Christ. I want to show you another scripture in Acts 13, the first three verses. It says this, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, there was in the church that was at Rollins, okay, there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manan and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Okay, the prophets and the teachers within the body of Christ were used by the Holy Spirit to ordain Barnabas and Saul and send them out. Okay, they were basically sent out as missionaries, okay, with a teaching anointing to go spread the gospel of Christ. Okay, I have a good friend that is a missionary, and he was a missionary in Ukraine, and he wasn't, some of you actually met him, but he wasn't a missionary in a traditional sense that he was going to preach the gospel in churches and get people saved and do all that. He was a teacher, literally studied in a Christian college to become a teacher, and he went and taught English in the Ukraine. Okay, that was his mission. That's what God had called him to do. That's exactly what this is kind of like. Okay, now these guys were sent out as missionaries with this teaching anointing to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we do on a smaller scale within our church as we appoint people to teach the kids. Okay, as we appoint people to teach the youth, okay, or somebody to lead a small group. It is our way of reaching the masses. We're reaching beyond, being able to help to get them to a better place in their walk with God. Okay, if somebody felt like they were called to go to a different city or called to go to a different nation to spread the gospel and to teach and to preach there, we would support them as well. Okay, I'm waiting for that missionary. I thought Ariel, you guys remember a few weeks ago when Ariel came through town, going to Japan to be a missionary. I thought, this might be the guy. I just stayed open, okay, just being attentive. Okay, and we conversed and things. It wasn't the right thing. Okay, but basically that's what happens is I'm constantly listening. We're going to get into the role of the pastor next week, but I am constantly listening and looking, you know, find out why, because part of the one that sends these people out is right here. Okay, it's part of wanting to fulfill and expand the kingdom of God. Okay, we've all got a role to fulfill in order for this to happen. Okay, that's why I say that you have a role in the kingdom of God. One more scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, and he, and it's talking about Jesus. Jesus gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, now this passage is what's referred to in Christianese as the fivefold ministry, right? The pastor, prophet, evangelist, the teacher, and apostle. Okay, I don't say them in the right order, but I always start with the pastor for some reason. Okay, but it's the fivefold ministry. These are the people that you'll see behind pulpits, in other words. These are the people that will be specially ordained, called by God to do a specific role within the body of Christ. Okay, now this is that the fivefold ministry, but this is in conjunction with what Paul said earlier. It sounds very similar. He names a lot of the same positions, the same roles. Okay, but it's talking about how God had intentionally set some in a worldwide church who are called to teach. And here we see that Jesus, okay, those are the gifts of the Father to the body of Christ. Then we see Jesus comes along and he says, there are some that are specifically called to be in the role of a pastor or of an evangelist or of a teacher. Okay, they are ordained to perfect or to mature and develop the body of Christ or the people of God for the work of the ministry and for the building up of the church of Jesus Christ. Okay, God had a plan. Did you know that? To spread his gospel, to further the kingdom, to see light overtake the darkness, to have light expand as darkness tries to push against it. Okay, and this is part of that. This is part of what that plan is. These teachers that God calls for the body of Christ are critical for the growth of God's kingdom. Okay, these are the people that are able to explain the scriptures in a way that can be easily understood. Okay, they don't just read the scripture and then give their opinion. Okay, they literally see the divine message that's intertwined in the words and are able to enlighten others on that. They're able to get that message out. Okay, with this compound role of the teacher within the body of Christ, you have to know that all will teach. Okay, all will share Christ to some extent. Many of you will become mentors within the body of Christ. You will begin to see your role changing from a learner to more of a teacher. Okay, I'm seeing yourself as more of, I'm getting to that point where I feel more comfortable sharing my faith or sharing with others the gospel of Christ, helping them to understand the things of the Word. And then our Lord Jesus has promised us that He has literally set some in our midst whom He has called to teach the Word of God so that we can all thrive and grow and be built up in our faith in Christ. Okay, God has an awesome plan for His people. He has a plan for us to be growing and developed. Okay, but we all have to step up. We have to step into that calling that He has called us to be. Who is God calling you to be? You know, what is God having you to do? How is He wanting you to serve? We're going to go through more of the ways. Next week we're going to talk about, first I have to tell you a little bit about false teachers, okay, because we're talking about teachers. There are those. We're given many warnings on it. But guess what? God had a plan. He sets a pastor, a shepherd. And if you look up the word shepherd, the first word that it defines it as is a protector. Okay, and that's exactly what part of my role is that protector, okay, of the body of Christ. You'll see all the prophets get involved in that and some of the other things. Okay, but it's part of God's plan. He put this in motion for us so that we could grow and thrive and things can move forward the way that He wanted. So, amen. Let's press into that. Father, we are grateful, Father, for the anointing, for Your calling on each one of us, Lord. I thank You that Your anointing is without revocation, Lord, that You don't take it back. Father, it is something that You have for each one of us to fulfill, and I pray that You stir that hunger inside to seek and desire and grab onto it, to begin to walk in it, to see it as the only thing that will satisfy You. Father, that as we go forward in life, that we will know that You are with us and leading us and guiding us. I pray for patience. I pray that we are patient in the waiting and the waiting to teach and waiting to minister and waiting to fulfill these roles. There is a time, there is a way that we go about waiting, and it is deep-rooted in learning, Father. So I pray that we learn and grow and develop into who You have called us to be. Lord, let us see You as the great shepherd, the one that is leading and guiding us, the greatest instructor, the greatest teacher, the one that we can trust and believe in. And Father, and as we do that, that we'll be led in a direction that helps us to grow exponentially in our faith, Lord. We thank You for it. We praise You for it. And I thank You in Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.